Welcome back to another episode of the Drunk Pod Podcast with your host, James St. John Smythe. That's me. That's who's talking. That's your host. That's your guy. Your podcast friend, James St. John Smythe. And today we'll be discussing the 1997 movie Tomorrow Never Dies. So, we start with a gun barrel and a PTS. Whoa. Easy, St. John Smythe. Don't just blow your load right off the bat. Let's talk for a minute. What you drinking? What you thinking about? What are you wearing? You know? All those normal questions you ask me. Today I'm drinking a Moscow Mule. Bond's not fighting the dirty Russians in this movie, but I still like a Moscow Mule. There's not much to say about it. Variations of it. I enjoy a blackberry Moscow Mule. Just do a little blackberry syrup in it. Blackberry works with everything, actually. Blackberry lemonade. Blackberry gin and tonic. Ooh, that actually sounds fucking delicious. And there's also like a Kentucky Mule with bourbon. There's a lot of different things you can do with a Moscow Mule. So you're free to explore the possibilities when it comes to mules. And you do that on your own time. It's my job to just get you a little kick-started. And I just did it. And you're welcome for that. But yes, today we're discussing Pierce Brosnan's second movie, Tomorrow Never Dies. Wonderful flick. It's a good time. So be prepared for some love. Sure enough, let's start out with a gun barrel. This is actually my favorite gun barrel. What do you think about that? Huh? What do you think about that bombshell I just dropped on you? This is my of the 24 movies, this is my favorite gun barrel sequence. I think Pierce is the best at the gun barrel, and I like the music, David Arnold. So, you know, that's set in stone. That's confirmed. Favorite gun barrel, James St. John Smythe, Tomorrow Never Dies. Write it down, lock it in, final answer. And we cut to a PTS. It's like at a terrorist arms bazaar, and Bond's spying on it like a creep, really. You know, he's in the bushes, he's got binoculars, like a peeping Tom. Sounds like my honeymoon. And the folks back home, in the control room or whatever, they see that there's like a shit ton of terrorists there. And the Admiral's like, cool, murder everyone. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone. This is going to be fun. Everyone's going to enjoy this. Pop your popcorn, open up some beers. This is going to be really fun. And after he orders it blown up, they realize that there are nukes there. You didn't want to check that out before you sent missiles there? That's why we take a few minutes to discuss these things. Like, let's blow up a whole, island or whatever they are. You know? Is there anything toxic there that could fuck things up? Any civilians? Questions like that. Any endangered species? Dinosaur eggs? Is there anything nuclear there? Those are things you ask before you just order an entire region to be blown up. So they're like, oh shit, okay, cancel that. No more missiles. I was just kidding earlier. And they're like, well, it's too late, asshole. And the Admiral's like, shit, this is really bad. I fudged up, guys. I just gotta be honest. The Admiral's in some hot water. I fudged up. So M's like, okay, alert NATO, the Pentagon, tell everyone, man, it's a fucking bloodbath. So then we cut to some asshole lighting a cigarette, and you get a little Bond theme. And then Bond biffs that dude in the face, has some little quip, and Bond says, you know what, I'm about to get nuclear myself. And he starts whipping everyone's ass. Blows everything up, and goes to the jet that has the nukes on it. And he leaves town, and then another pilot follows, and the pilot in the backseat of the jet, he's starting to come too. And he starts, like, choking Bond, and the other pilot starts shooting at him. It's like, time out, guys! We got nukes on here! What's y'all's plan? Why blow me up? We're all gonna die. Let's just press pause for a second. Y'all can get me down the ground. And y'all can capture me. But for now, why don't we just ease up a bit? And then he gets under the plane that's following him, presses the ejector seat on the guy in the back seat. The guy ejects into the jet above him. And then the other jet just inexplicably just blows up for some reason. And Bond saves the day. And it's just wonderful. This is just a great pre-title sequence, isn't it? It reminds me of like an octopussy, like some bad shit's going down and Bond just comes in and saves the day real quick. Not really much to do with the actual movie. That Gupta guy is there, who's in the movie later, but that's about it. This is just a fantastic BTS. This is what I want from a pre-title sequence. So far, so good, man. We got the best gun barrel sequence and one of the better pre-title sequences. What else you got? And we cut to the title sequence with the title song by Sheryl Crow. It's not my favorite. I think I prefer The World Is Not Enough to this one. I always get like these two. I always mix these up. And I prefer The World Is Not Enough. Not my favorite. So we cut to a British ship in the South China Sea. And these Chinese MiGs fly over and says, "Hey, bro, what's your game, friend? Y'all are in Chinese waters, and we don't appreciate it. So beat it." And the British says, "No, we're in international waters." And the Chinese say, "Uh-uh." And the British say, "Uh-huh." And the Chinese say, "Uh-uh." And the British say, "Uh-huh." And it goes on like this for a good while. And then meanwhile, this stealth boat out of nowhere just attacks the British ship with like this drill torpedo to make it look like it's the Chinese doing it. And then they go kill the Chinese MiGs to make it look like the UK did it. Classic mix-up, you know? And the dude doing all this is Elliot Carver, our villain. And he wants to replace the Chinese government with one that will give him exclusive broadcasting rights in China. Like, he's not even in China right now, much less exclusive. I don't know if China has media. So he's just going to turn them from being communists? Actually, maybe that's not such a bad idea. Maybe just let Elliot do his thing and then arrest him. Bring in democracy. Have an actual, like, press that reports on things. And then we take it, you know, then we knock Elliot out. I don't know. That's just me. That's if St. John Smythe was in charge. And also, like, most network heads, if they want big-time power and all that kind of stuff, you know, then someone's like, "All right, well, if you want that, then we got to get weird with it, okay? We got to, like, start actually attacking countries and, like, destroying ships and crashing choppers and murdering soldiers, starting wars, installing new governments like we're an actual country, even though we're just, like, selling fucking newspapers. You sure you want to do that?" And the network head would usually say, "Well, shit, I don't want to do all that. I got to, like, buy boats and stuff and, like, train soldiers. Fuck that. Let's just stick with what we do. Not Carver. It seems like a pain in the ass, though." By the way, what must those, like, whenever they're attacking the British ship with the torpedo drill, what must the MiGs be thinking, the Chinese? They just told the British, like, "Hey, you're in Chinese waters." And the British are like, "No, we're not." And then all of a sudden, there's just a drill going through their submarine, and they're sinking and dying. And the MiGs are like, "What the fuck is happening right now?" But before they can really piece it all together, they get blown up. So apparently Gupta, that nerd from the beginning of the movie, he uses like some encoder to like guide it off course. Some nerd bullshit. And they murder all the British survivors with Chinese ammo to make them look like they did it. And then they steal one of their missiles. Delicious. So Carver meets with his staff for just like, you know, just general like evil plotting. Carver's, you know, on his iPad. You know, he's scrolling. He's looking through things. He's talking to people. He's laughing. He's having a good time. I've said it before, I'll say it again. There's no better time for a Bond villain than the first act of the movie. Everything's figured out. They got it down pat. They are laughing. They're having fun. They're diabolical. A lot of evil laughter at the beginning of a movie. And that's the case for Carver. Never have you seen someone more confident than him right now. He's just swimming in it. Are we ready to release our new software? As requested, it's full of bugs, which means people will be forced to upgrade for years. That sounds a little familiar, huh? Yes, we made the new phone not fit with the old charger, so they have to buy more. And once we release the new software, all of a sudden the perfectly fine software they have starts freaking out, forcing them to buy a new phone. A little ahead of the game on that one. And Carver's like, "Tell the president if he doesn't lower cable rates, we'll release the video of him with the cheerleader." "Inspired, sir." And then once he lowers them, release it anyway. That's the little Michael G. Wilson cameo. What kind of president would be banging a cheerleader? How does a president even meet a cheerleader? What are the circumstances that George W. Bush, Trump, Obama, Biden meet a cheerleader? Unless, like, you know, Alabama just won the national championship. They come on over to the White House to meet the president. And then, I guess, cheerleaders come with them to do a little dance for the president. And then the president, very inappropriately, just starts hitting on one of the cheerleaders. Starts banging her. Not too many cameras around. You can't do that. Kennedy, I can see, but that's not going to fly. That's just a little, you know, that's just a little side note I have. That's something I noticed. And in the middle of all this, he says, hold the presses, and tells them about the mix-up in the China Sea and how the Chinese and the British are going to start World War III and all this stuff. And everyone at the meeting is like, oh, wow, okay. I thought we were just, like, blackmailing, extorting, you know. So you, like, you want to start, like, a war and, like, murder people. Okay. Kind of up in the ante, I see. Well, you know, I guess I'm in. So we cut to Bond. He's getting a call from Moneypenny and him. They're like, this ain't good. Call our guy. And he's banging a college professor. This is just wonderful. This is how I like to picture Bond again. His DB5 is parked on campus, and he's upstairs in some smoking hot college professor's room just banging her. And he picks up his cell phone. You get a couple of, I think there's a couple beaver shots in there. Have y'all noticed that? She crosses her legs a few times, and like, under the sheets, it's getting real close. And it shows between the legs, which is where the vagina is, what I've read from all my biology books. And he gets the call from Moneypenny. I'll be there soon. Moneypenny makes her a little, you always were a cunning linguist, which that's just a great joke, a Moneypenny joke, and really enjoys her own joke. And I know what that's like. And so far, man, this is how you start a Bond movie. You got the gun barrel. You got the pre-title sequence. You got the something getting hijacked, you know? Something horrible happening. And then you cut to Bond with a woman, and he's off to save the day. This is how you start a Bond movie. You know, some folks can learn from this. I'm not going to say who, but some folks can learn from this start. So Bond goes to the Ministry of Defense, and they're arguing. No one's happy. And they say that M has 48 hours to investigate before they send the fleet to retaliate against the Chinese. And Bond sent to investigate Carver, since his paper was the one that released the article before MI6 and everybody learned of it. You printed it before anyone knew about it? I mean, it's a little aggressive, no? And, like, the signal came from Carver's satellite? What did you think was going to happen, bud? You didn't think people were going to snoop around? You couldn't, like, scramble their ability to, like, see where the signal came from? Hire a team of dorks like Gupta to do that? You didn't want to do that? What do you think about that, Carver? Huh? You got anything to say for yourself? I didn't think so. So Bond gets to the airport and queues there. And he gets his BMW, remote control with the cell phone and all that. There's a leopard in the background in a cage. I don't know if anyone noticed that. That's actually a deleted scene. I don't know what the deleted scene was, but that's why that leopard's back there. So now you know that. But just keep that between us. Don't tell anybody. Because you're not supposed to see that. Now we know. And let's leave it at that. So Bond goes to Carver's party in a tux, looking sharp, you know. And you better lay all the newspaper down on the ground, because things got to get about to get pretty wet at that party, if you know what I mean. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Huh? And he meets Wei Lin and Carver and Paris. He's meeting everybody. And Paris used to be some woman he used to date. That's Elliot's wife. And she's got a real fucking attitude right off the bat. Apparently she got her heart broken by card sense, and she's just pissed about it. And slaps him across the face. I'd love if Bond just close fist punched her back. And she just goes sprawling off the balcony onto the ground. Jesus, what happened? And they order drinks. You know, the gentleman will have the martini shaken, not stirred. And for Mrs. Carver, tequila straight shot. Tequila straight shot. Whore. Were they in college when they dated? Mrs. Carver will have the Jaeger bomb. And then Elliot comes with Wei Lin, and Bond's asking way too many questions. Basically just says, you killed those Brits, didn't you? You put the boat off course, you killed the Brits, you killed the Chinese, you're starting a war, you did all that, right? And that's not good. So Carver's like, somebody murder him, and gets his whole team to whip his ass. By the way, we got some real dickhead outfits on in this party. Some dude's got a newspaper jacket on. Newspaper. Get it? Because it's a media whatever? Grow up, dude. And then some other dude has a shiny silver suit on. It's like shiny and glowing. You grow up too, man. And straighten up. That's enough, man. What are you wearing? You gotta have all the attention? I think Bond's got that. With just his regular tux. So cut the shit. So Carver starts giving a speech like he's at a fucking factory in Munich in front of 90,000 soldiers. What do I want? Worldwide domination. Oh, okay. You're just going to admit that. You're going to say that out loud? Okay. It's a bold strategy as far as, like, not concealing the fact that all these bad signals are coming from your satellite. You're the only one reporting on it ahead of time. I think people might start to get a little suspicious. That's just me. That's just the sleuth in me. I'd get a little suspicious. And turns out everyone else is, too. Meanwhile, Bond's getting his ass whipped by these henchmen. And these dudes are like 68 years old. I mean, this ain't Roger Moore. So obviously, Pierce turns the tables on them. This is just... he smashes a piano on one guy's head. He beats one with a cello. He attacks one with another one with a floor lamp. And my co-host, Peter Frank's favorite, the crystal ashtray he gets, real casually, just looks at it for a second and just shatters it over some dude's head. Everybody's concussed. There's brain trauma in this place. And then Bond turns all the power off. Fucks up Elliot's night. His whole Sweet 16 party, it's ruined. He's yelling at his female assistant. What happened? I don't know. You're fired. Get out of my sight. Then later she's like, but it was Bond in the control room. He turned off the power. Oh. Well, you're still fired. I mean, I already did it in front of everybody. And I'm not going to go back on that. Because that would mean I was wrong and I'm never wrong. So, therefore, I'm right. And you're wrong. Not me. So, you're still fired. Get out. Without pay. No benefits. No severance. Leave me. And Carver starts pouting about his speech to his wife. Stupid Paris. These things happen. Not to me. Oh, really? Then how come it just happened? Because it just happened. If that kind of thing never happens to you, then how come it just happened? Answer me that, Elliot. And get a better name, too. Stupid name, Elliot. Elliot. So we cut to Bond taking shots in his room just by himself. Sounds like my honeymoon. And Paris comes over to procreate. I mean, I can only imagine he had like 3 martinis at that party. That's just a good party. I mean, anytime you're in a black suit or a black tie party or tuxedo, I mean, you're going to get pretty drunk. That's a fun party. I mean, someone's giving Hitler speeches. Like, that's a fun time, you know? I mean, it's a little... the message they're sending might be a little off, but, you know, everyone seems excited, so you might as well get drunk about it. So that's 3 martinis. Then he's halfway through that 5th in his room, so he's just fucked up. And Paris comes in. She's like, he's on to you. And Bond's like, I'm on to me. What? And then she starts, like, whimpering about their relationship. Did I get too close, James? I used to look for your obituary in the paper. Like, I don't give a shit about y'all and y'all's relationship. Am I supposed to care about this? I'm like Q with Lupe and Pan, that love triangle. And he's like, oh my god, I don't care about this so much. I mean, Q had to take a vacation after hearing all that clucking about card sense. Hey, listen, gals, we all care about card sense, okay? Card sense! Have I mentioned how much I love the nickname Card Sense Jimmy? For the 9 millionth time in the Casino Royale 1954 TV movie, his nickname, Bond's nickname, was Card Sense Jimmy. And I just love it so much. Card Sense. When was the first time someone called him Card Sense? Hey, Card Sense, you coming over tonight? What would you call him? Card Sense? Why'd you call him Card Sense? Oh, well, you know, because he's got a lot of sense when it comes to cards. Card Sense. Card Sense Jimmy. Huh. Okay. So, Gupta tries to give him, like, this, I don't know, yapping about technology, and Carver's like, shut up, just English. What are you saying to me? So when he hears Bond and Paris used to date, he just has her killed. And Gupta's like, you sure? That she, I mean, you know, your wife had a boyfriend before you, and you're going to kill her for that? And Carver's like, yeah, I'm a Bond villain. We tend to act a little irrationally sometimes. We're a bit mad. So yeah, I am sure. I've never been more sure in my life that I want to kill my wife. I got some anger issues. I tend to blow my top a lot. Get used to it. And we go back to Bond's room. They just fucked. And, this job of yours, it's murder on relationships. we're not in a relationship. I wish Bond would have said that. I don't want to see you anymore again for the second time. What was even her plan? She just goes to his room and bangs him? She goes back like, so what did you find out? Oh, nothing. You didn't find out anything? I sent you in there to get some information. You've been gone for 6 hours. What happened? Nothing. Nothing, eh? So Bond goes to Paris, by the way, tells him where the news headquarters is. So Bond goes there. I forgot to mention that. You know, I sometimes do that. And steals the encoder from Gupta's safe. Gupta has porn, syringes, cash, and drugs in there. That's not a joke. That's actually in his safe. And the encoder. That's your five basic food groups, really. And the alarm is set off. I think Wei Lin sets it off. And he breaks that, like, $300 million satellite that Gupta was bitching about earlier to, like, these large henchmen. This thing costs $300 million. You break it, you bought it. Okay, Tubby. We get it, guy. Don't fucking talk down to me. Whip your ass, you 5'8", 280-pound motherfucker. So they get attacked, and they escape in his car. And we cut to the hotel room. Paris was murdered, gasp, by a Dr. Kaufman, who is just one of the highlights of this movie. And Dr. Kaufman's also sent to kill Bond as well. They're already reporting it on TV, or it's like a VHS tape, but that seems a little premature, no? I mean, Bond's not even dead yet, and you're already reporting on it. And she's dead, and, like, we're supposed to be sad. Am I supposed to care about her? Because I don't. I'll tell you that. I don't care about Paris. Forget Paris. Huh? Right? That's a movie way back when, huh? I think Calvin Dyson mentioned this, that it would have been helpful if this was, like, an ex-Bond girl. So technically, we could... Oh, yeah, they used to date. Like a Natalia. Or like a Pam. Pam! From License to Kill. Although it'd be weird if Natalia just showed up dating a media mogul the next movie. Like, how'd they meet? Pam, too, I guess. Well, actually, Lupe, that would have made sense, because she starts banging that president. She was banging Sanchez. She likes power. So that'd be right up Lupe's alley. That actually would have worked. Bring in Lupe. Don't blame Lupe. That's a Seinfeld reference. And Lupe's kind of butthurt about James because of all the ass sex. And then... And then she comes to have sex, and then she gets killed. Then I would have been a little upset. Like, oh, I liked Lupe. That's really sad that she's dead. You know, shucks. What was I talking about? Kind of got lost there for a second. Lupe? That's a fun letter to write Ma and Paul Carver, too. Or Ma and Paul, I don't know, whatever Paris's last name is. With the Carver Media Group. Letterhead on there. Dear Ma and Pa, whatever. Bad news from Hamburg or wherever they are. Seems your daughter committed suicide. It was definitely suicide. According to her husband, Elliot Carver, it was suicide. And don't do any autopsies, because you'll find more pain in the autopsy. In the form of two different types of semen in her. That's what they'll find. It's just Elliot's handwriting, according to Elliot Carver. And Elliot Carver is the one writing the actual letter, signed Elliot Carver. You just see, like, tear stains on the letter and, like, nose blood stains just from the rage. Snot, he sneezed once, too. Maybe if she wasn't a deceitful, treacherous whore, this wouldn't have happened. The parents are reading it like, it's so mean. Signed, your son-in-law, Elliot Carver. So, Dr. Kaufman, he's trying to kill Bond. I'm an outstanding pistol marksman. Take my word for it, yeah? She struggled terribly, Mr. Bond. I just wanted you to know how that went down. It was a real struggle. Every single thing he says, every syllable out of Dr. Kaufman's mouth is dynamite. He is wonderful. Obviously, the only thing we hate is that he's only in the movie for like 5 minutes, you know? But he's so great. So he kills Dr. Kaufman. And then he starts fucking everyone up with his car from his cell phone. Jumps in the car. Phenomenal car chase in the garage. Does all the gadgets and everything. Yeah, you know how it goes. He drives off the roof. He just flies into an Avis building. Kills a few employees. No big deal. I mean, after the first few gadgets, maybe don't follow so close, you know? Maybe don't like, stand in front of it either. He's clearly got a bunch of shit in his car. Let's give him some space. Let's give him a wide berth. But anyway, we cut to China. We get Jack Wade back again. Which, you know, much like J.W. Pepper in Live and Let Die to Man with the Golden Gun, I like Jack Wade in GoldenEye. Kind of annoys me a little bit in this one. But, you know, he's only there for a few minutes. And he's about to do this halo jump. It's something high altitude, low something. I don't know what halo stands for. But it's a jump, and then you don't pull your chute until, like, you're about to land. And he's about to do a halo shoot. And they're giving him all these warnings and about skydiving and all this stuff. And Bond's like, guys, have y'all seen Moonraker? Have y'all seen the pre-titles of that movie? I know what I'm doing when it comes to jumping out planes. Please. I should be teaching y'all. Not the other way around. You don't buy me out, I buy you out. So he gets down there in the water and investigates this sunken ship and sees Wei Lin and says, hey, Lin. And discovers one of the missiles is missing. I'm not sure what that means, but one's missing. You know, it's a fact. I'm not making it up. And they're captured by Stamper, and they're brought to Elliot. And he's like, my first story is your obituary, Mr. Bond. I hope you extended Miss Paris the same courtesy. You wrote her obituary when you asked her to betray me. But I didn't ask her to betray you. You sent her to my room to get information. I told her to leave. Clearly, no woman's ever going to leave my room, even if I ask her to, but still, I asked her to leave. Then she offered up some information about your headquarters. I think you're wrong. You're mad at the wrong person, guy. And Elliot just starts rattling off some bullshit about, I don't know, taking over the world like he's a child. You really are insane. The distance between insanity and genius is measured only by success. Boy, that is a line. That is like some high-level, like, I'm going to kill the president type of thinking. Like, that's big league. That's major league, all-star, MVP type, like, diabolical thinking. The distance between insanity and genius is measured only by success. Okay, well, off you go. You're just going to spin off the planet, aren't you? So their plan is to just torture him, like rip his heart out, like some really rough shit. Stamper's not happy because Dr. Coffin was like a father to him. That must have been some type of upbringing for Stamper. At a Stamper, it's time for your breakfast, y'all. Baseball practice at 2:00. Tonight we talk about the birds and the bees, yeah? So they end up escaping. You know, Bond gets himself out of it. And we have this big motorcycle chase. I like this, like, shanty town is next to, like, these skyscrapers. That's, like, typical China. It's, like, these crazy big skyscrapers and, like, skylines and all this stuff. And then you have, like, these homeless people everywhere. Like, what? Hey, Cynthia Smythe, you ever been to China? You know, I saw a couple pictures once and saw a Bond movie. So, yeah, they start getting in a fight with this helicopter. They're chasing them. The helicopter clearly doesn't care about the fucking everyday people of China. They're opening fire. I mean, just let the chips fall where they may. Later, they're like, did you kill Bond? No. We did kill, though. We killed, there's a lot of people dead. We killed a lot. There's no other way to put it, Elliot. We killed a lot of Chinese people today. A lot of funerals. And towards the end of the fight, they just start putting, like, the blades of the helicopter to the ground. Like, I thought we were just trying to kill Bond. It's like they want to kill all the citizens. And I don't even know what the plan was there. Just sit like normal as a helicopter. Bond and Wei Lin have no way out, no exit. They're just trapped in a dark alley, or in an alley. It's not dark. So you got two or three guys in that helicopter. I know y'all are horrible shots, but with three machine guns, just start opening fire. You gotta hit them at some point. But no, they just put their blades down, don't do anything, and then Bond skids under the blades, throws a clothesline or whatever at the helicopter, and the helicopter just explodes into shantytown, and now just, I don't know, everyone's homeless, because it just blows all the cardboard houses to smithereens. And Bond and Wei Lin, they shower, they laugh, and they're touching each other. And Wei Lin handcuffs him there and says, I work alone, dude. And she runs away. Steals that jacket. You think I forgot about that? She steals someone's jacket. These people can't afford that. You know? Rewind that scene. Go back. When she just runs away, she takes someone's jacket. Or, like, it's like a cover-up, whatever it is. But it doesn't belong to her, is my point. Not cool. So Bond tracks her down, and he finds her, like, being attacked by these dudes. I don't know who they are, but she's being attacked. I don't know who they are, come to think of it. That's the first time I've actually... Who are those guys? They're Chinese, but I don't know who they work for. So they start doing a bunch of karate shit, you know, yah, yah! Climbing up walls, throwing bamboo at each other, whatever. And Weyland whips their ass, and so does Bond, and, you know, they're out of it. And they agree to join forces. Hooray. Bond just starts playing with her Chinese toys. You know, Chinese checkers and ping pong, whatever it is. Chinese finger trap. You know, Bond's just having a good time. Paper mache. And then they're off to go find Carver. But before that, let's get into some of the advertisements, shall we? Just a little break. Little break. No big deal. Okay. Who's got the rights to Tomorrow Never Dies? Advertising rights. Soul rights. Pooh Pants Portalette. I do remember this one. Pooh Pants Portalette, folks. Portalettes. High quality portalettes ideal for outdoor workplaces or special events or wherever else temporary sanitation services are required for when you need to make poo paste. Units sized from single stalls or trailer-sized crowd pleasers for any amount of fecal matter. Poo Pants Portalettes are available to accommodate if you have a splat of poo coming along, or if you just need to pet, or if you just need to pee out your butt. Poo Pants Portalettes finally lets you go boom anywhere. That's Poo Pants Portalettes, folks. Move your bowels in style. All right. I think I mentioned this last time that there's no regular shits according to them. Everyone just has diarrhea all the time. So, yeah, whatever. Listener questions. One of the listeners writes, St. John Smythe, what would you like to see from Gnome Time to Die? Well, that's a good question. I wouldn't mind seeing a couple of odes to former Bond movies. Like Octopussy. I'd like to see Bond in a clown costume at some point. And a gorilla outfit. And I want to hear Craig give a Tarzan yell. That's what I'd like. Also like to see a slide whistle effect. I want to see a henchman fall in love and turn good. A double take pigeon would be nice. Elephant playing slot machines. Blofeld cross-dressing. Blofeld's back, so we might as well have him cross-dress. And just have Safin be another one of Bond's brothers. It works so well in Spectre, you might as well just double down. Just keep it going. I want to see Denise Richards. I want to see Bond parasurfing. I want to just see just a shit ton of CGI to where at some point I'll just think I'm watching an animated movie. I want to see Bond super depressed and moody and sad in general. I want to see a cameo from Sean Connery and Roger Moore and Shelby Broccoli while we're at it. Might as well just throw them in there. What else? I want Shirley Bassey to just inexplicably start singing a song in the middle of the movie. No sex in this movie. That's common. That's crass. Nobody likes it. I want Bond to die. That's if he has enough time to die. I don't know. And I want him to break the fourth wall. And turn Japanese while he does it. And that's about it. I wouldn't mind Margaret Thatcher in there too. Talking to a pigeon or parakeet, whatever it was. That's it. Other than that, that's about it. It's pretty simple stuff. So, hope that answers that. So, back to the movie. We find Carver's stealth boat. And they're going to fire a missile to Beijing. Or they already fired it, or I don't know. By this point, I'm kind of tuned out. And they just drive right up to the stealth boat, too. It's just sitting, in the water, and they just drive it, with a fucking wind boat. And no one sees them. No one notices them. They just drive right up and go inside. And Carver's like, let the mayhem begin. And people should be like, are you sure you don't want to just stop now and just keep selling newspapers? You sure you want to do this? You want to live in a world where we're at World War III. And this is going to take years. And you're not getting any younger. And dude, you're single now too. You're not even married. So you're like a billionaire. You're rich. You're single. I mean, life's good, you know? No? Okay. So they agree to press on. Stamper gets Weyland. Bond kills a couple dudes. puts one of their bodies out, like, while Stamper's shooting at him, and kind of, like, puts it out there as a decoy. Stamper shoots that decoy body, and it falls in the water. And he just says, Stamper the Bridge, Bond is dead. You don't want to, like, follow up? Confirm that's him? Delicious. And he just believes it. So, that's it. Bond's dead. Fucking idiots. Y'all deserve not to complete this mission. And Carver realizes that Wei Lin has been captured. Bring her up here. And Gupta's like, you sure you want her up here? And Gupta, all of a sudden, I know I've given him a hard time this review, but making a little bit of sense. Maybe don't bring her up here. Maybe just murder her. Maybe murder her right in the face. Right in that Chinese face. Kill her. You're so close. Kill her. But no. He enjoys an audience, he says, or something like that. And Carver starts telling her his plan, but no one really seems to care. So, you know, he does make fun of her karate chops and stuff, which is just fucking hilarious. And Bond gets up there. He's got Gupta hostage. And Carver says, I don't give a fuck. And just shoots Gupta. Finally, I didn't like Gupta anyway. So, you know, no skin off my ass. And Bond sets off this big explosion. And now the stealth boat can be tracked. That's not good. Big fight ensues. You ever notice how Wei Lin, when she's shooting things, before she shoots something, she goes, yah! And then starts shooting. Is that a karate technique? Machine gun? That's what belt is that? Huh? What do you think about that? Why don't you bring that back to your dojo? And the Brits just start bombing that stealth boat since they can see it now and they know what's up. And then Bond and Carver have a showdown and Bond throws Carver into that, like, that torpedo drill or whatever. Give the people what they want! Maybe just move out the way. He just walks away and, like, the drill's coming at you. Maybe move out the way. I would have liked to see the corpse, though. And that just looks... I mean, he looks like chum. What's that stuff they feed sharks? Chum? Is that it? That's a closed casket. It's like a closed barrel. I mean, how do you even dispose of that kind of body? So then Bond thinks it's all good, but Stamper still wants a taste. And he's fucking with Wei Lin. Let her go, Stamper. It's over. Not between you and me. And Bond's like, well, that's a weird thing to say. What you mean, bud? And he's like, Kaufman, remember? You killed him. I'm not over it. You still on about Kaufman? That was yesterday, man. Come on. And he throws Wei Lin in the water with chains all around her, I don't know, her body. And Bond gets in a fight with Stamper. At one point, he gets hit. And Stamper goes, nine! In case you forgot he was German, he yells nine out. And he defeats Stamper, jumps in the water and starts just tongue-kissing Wei Lin. That's inappropriate, you know. There's a time and a place, James, and she's about to die. So Stamper gets killed, everything explodes, everyone's dead. But they're underwater, so I guess they're just protected. And they just, like, I don't know, fuck on like a canoe or something instead of being rescued. And we got end credits. And there it is. There's Tomorrow Never Dies. That's the movie. It's a good time, isn't it? It's well and good, isn't it? Did well at the box office. Actually debuted at number 2 because Titanic was out. And Titanic was still being a dick. Titanic was being a dick for like, I don't know, 16 weeks. They were like number 1. So Tomorrow Never Dies had their own little iceberg to go around. But still did about as well as GoldenEye. Not quite as good reviews as GoldenEye. I find this Bond movie to be the most underrated Bond movie of them all. I love this movie. It reminds me of like the Thunderball, Octopussy kind of movie where it's like they just do everything right. You get everything you want from a Bond movie. It's loads of fun. It's not too serious. It's just a good time for 2 hours. And isn't that all you want from a Bond movie? Huh? It's just a fun time. It's a fun 2 hours. You're going to enjoy yourself. I love this movie. I enjoyed it even more this past time I watched it. And this thing has been skyrocketing up my list. When I first saw it in theaters, I hated it because it was like, it was different than GoldenEye. And I thought like Pierce Brosnan was going to be back with like Natalia. And I was so hooked on GoldenEye, I just wanted it to be like GoldenEye. And it wasn't. But as time's gone on, I mean, this movie's great. The villain is so great. Brosnan is phenomenal. Wei Lin keeps going up in my book. I used to not like her. You know, I like just only Bond being the tough guy. I don't want anyone helping him. But I've come around on Wei Lin. I like her. I'm not really a big fan of Paris. I think I've made my thoughts known on Paris. Stamper is, you know, your typical blonde henchman. Dr. Kaufman is just the best thing ever. Elliot Carver is just so over the top and so great. It's our first score with David Arnold, and he's just great. He does it till, I think Skyfall is the first movie he didn't do or something like that. And yeah, I'm not saying that, like, the first tier of Bond movies that just do everything right and I find them to be, like, perfect is, like, a Goldfinger, GoldenEye, Spy Who Loved Me. But the next little tier is, like, Octopussy, Thunderball, Tomorrow Never Dies, like, You Only Live Twice, maybe, where they just, it's like, you just get everything you want from a Bond movie. It's not, like, the best movie in the world, although I find Octopussy, I mean, I have that ranked number one. But I can objectively look and say, all right, I can see why. Maybe I'm the only one that has it number one. This is just a wonderful flick. Have I made myself clear yet that I like this movie? We get it, St. John Smythe. You like the fucking movie. Can we move on? Next movie. All right, fine. No need to shout. No need to get mad at me. Hey, I wouldn't do that to you. All right, so I guess that's about it. No fun facts this movie, just because, you know, you caught a little bit of an attitude at the end, and I'm not going to have fun with you anymore. No fun facts. No more questions. And the next movie I think I do. The next movie I'll do is, maybe From Russia with Love or a Roger movie. And we got Rocky V coming up at some point, too. So I don't know. And don't forget to check out Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network. All those fellas. Look it up. I can't help you much more past that. Okay? I just know that all my advertising money now has to, like, trickle down to them. You know, they got to get a cut now. And I don't appreciate that. Granted, that's some dirty money, man. Now, Pooh Pants Portalettes, I mean, at least they're not doing anything illegal. They're just giving you a vessel to take a shit in. But a lot of them, these whorehouses and money laundering services, you know. But now I have, like, an accomplice. Like, they can go to jail with me. So that's kind of comforting. At least I'll have company if they track me. Like, but those places didn't really leave a paper trail, so I should be good. And I can just delete this podcast. Once you delete something from the internet, it's gone forever, right? Okay, we'll see you next time on the Drunk Bond Podcast. Tomorrow, see ya.